This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, September 24th. I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, Amy Guida has this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News and a look at your AM 580 weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana. But first, today's news. It's an idea that's been strewn about for years in Illinois, a casino in the state's largest city. That idea would become a reality if a plan the Illinois Senate approved last week becomes law. Amanda Vinicky reports on the particulars of a Chicago casino.
Unlike Illinois' other casinos, which have to float on water, Chicago's casino could be land-based. And while the other casinos are owned and operated by companies, Chicago's casino would be owned by the city itself. Republican State Senator Bill Brady of Bloomington says he takes issue with that.
I have a very difficult time understanding why a unit of government needs to own the operations of a casino. Why the city of Chicago should be given a privilege over and above the privileges given to other cities throughout this state.
Senator Donna Trotter, a Chicago Democrat, says a casino would give tourists an alternative to everything else his city has to offer.
Excuse me if that means they're going to leave their money here that's going to pay for our schools, that's going to pay for our roads.
Chicago officials support the casino plan. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
Indiana Senator Evan Bayh is expected to support Hillary Rodham Clinton's presidential bid today. That's according to sources close to both lawmakers. Bayh actively pursued a possible presidential bid until late last year when he dropped out of the race. Clinton and Bayh traveled together to Iraq in January, just before Clinton announced she would seek the Democratic nomination. Bayh is in his second term in the Senate and is a former governor. He won re-election with 62% of the vote in 2004. When Barack Obama won the 2004 U.S. Senate race, his friends in the Illinois legislature emptied his wallet in a take-no-prisoners night of poker. Obama was a regular at the low-stakes games, sometimes stud poker, sometimes draw, designed to break up the tedium of long legislative sessions. The traits Obama displayed around the card table are ones he brings to his presidential bid and are certain to be evident and analyzed if he wins the White House. By his poker buddies' accounts, Obama is careful and focused. He's not easily distracted and doesn't give away his intentions unless it's to his advantage. A woman who is suing her dead fiancé's parents for failing to tell her their son had AIDS is taking her case to the Illinois Supreme Court. Sean Crawford has that story.
The woman is identified only as Jane Doe. She contracted HIV from unprotected sex with her fiancé, Albert Dilling. Dilling never told her he had AIDS, and when the woman approached his parents to find out more about his health problems, they said he was suffering from heavy metal poisoning. A jury awarded Jane Doe $2 million, but it was overturned on appeal, the appellate court saying the woman should not have relied on Dilling's parents. The Supreme Court decision, which might take months, could impact the state's medical confidentiality laws. The woman's attorney, Hall Adams, says the parents had both a moral and legal obligation to tell her the truth.
And they knowingly did the opposite. They knowingly lied to her about a life and death fact.
Adams says Jane Doe now has AIDS and is seeking damages to pay for treatment. Dilling died in 1999. His parents maintain they were unaware of his condition, even though they were paying his medical bills and in touch with his doctors. I'm Sean Crawford.
A federal appeals court in Chicago ruled Friday that Cavell International in DeKalb must shut down. That's the nation's only plant that slaughters horses for human consumption. Tony Arnold reports on what comes next.
The state of Illinois banned the practice of slaughtering horses for humans to eat back in May. Cavell immediately challenged the law in court. Phil Calabrese is an attorney for Cavell.
Well, we're still studying the opinion, and obviously we would like to have seen a different result, but it's something we're still studying and considering our options.
Calabrese says there are a couple of legal moves available to Cavell to try and get the plant to reopen, but an attorney for the Humane Society is quick to point out those options haven't worked in similar cases. Employees at Cavell refused to comment on the ruling. The general manager of the slaughterhouse recently retired. I'm Tony Arnold.
Purdue University will test a text messaging system in an effort to more quickly get emergency information out to students, faculty, and staff. School officials will send a test message by both text and email at 11:25 a.m. this morning to see which works faster. The emails will go out to 50,000 people and the text message out to 10,000 volunteers. The volunteers will be asked to respond to check the speed of the alert. Officials say if the test is successful, they'll consider adding text messages to their emergency alert system. Schools have sought quicker ways to notify students and others in an emergency following the April shootings at the University of Virginia Tech. Some farmers in southern Illinois and southeast Missouri are harvesting a very unusual crop this time of year. Farmers in those regions are draining ponds to harvest their freshwater prawns. The creatures are relatives of the saltwater shrimp, and they have become a popular choice at some local restaurants and grocery stores. Some prawn farmers say they plan to hold harvest festivals this fall with pony rides, a petting zoo, and Cajun and country music. A trade group says more farmers are raising the prawns as a niche market develops for them. For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bossert. There are some brand new words and phrases that became part of the dictionary last week. But as commentator Amy Guida explains in this week's Legal Issues in the News, law has been there, done that.
The Oxford English Dictionary added 10 new words to its pages a few days ago. They're words like beatboxing, which means the action or practice of imitating the sounds of an electric drum machine with the voice, and rockism, which refers to the theory that traditional rock music is a more authentic form of popular music than pop music. But the old OED is just a little bit behind the times. Some of the new 10 have already made their way into court opinions. What you'd probably consider to be old, staid, boring, out of touch with hipness courts are actually more with it than you might think. Sort of. Many of the new words have made their way into the law books because witnesses in cases have spoken them at trial, and the transcript language is relevant to the judge's opinion. But no matter the reason why, they're in there, recognized by the LAW, law, before the OED. Take the phrase secret sauce. Okay, maybe that's not the best example, because secret sauce has been around as long as I can remember, seared on my memory just as firmly as the hamburger patty stuck to the grill in the famous fast food restaurant where I was employed as a teenager. Secret sauce, as of 2007, according to the Oxford English Dictionary, means a special feature or technique kept secret by an organization and regarded as being the chief factor in its success. 2007, nearly 40 years ago, way back in 1968, the Georgia Supreme Court used secret sauce in an opinion, one involving an employment contract that contained a clause forbidding the employee from working in a food establishment for 1 year after leaving the employer's employment. And lest you think that that's not exactly as hip as the OED intended, a federal trial court more than a year ago used the phrase when describing a company's marketing plan, as in, community will remain the secret sauce of a particular company. There the court quoted somebody else, somebody with his or her finger much more on the pulse of society's language, maybe. Just like in the court's use of the phrase, chill pills. The Oxford English Dictionary defines that phrase as anything intended to calm a person down, as in, take a chill pill. And sure enough, the phrase chill pill is in multiple court opinions. The first one from way back in 2002, in a case where the plaintiff's supervisor had told her to calm down and take a chill pill. The child at the heart of a child custody case that same year used the chill pill phrase, and the court repeated it admiringly. The third and final new word or phrase to appear within court decisions before appearing in the Oxford English Dictionary is the word amp, as in amped up. This means to make a person excited or energetic. A whopping 9 courts use that language in opinions from 2001 through this year. Sure, they sometimes added excited to the phrase, as in amped up and excited, just to get their point across. But it's another example of just how cutting edge some courts can be. A quick update on some older new words. In 4 years, barista has gone from 1 mention to 11. Headbanger in its various permutations is up to 9. And comb over? Not a favorite among judges for some reason. It remains at 1 mention. I'm Amy Guida.
Amy Guida is an assistant professor of journalism and law at the University of Illinois. In the forecast for East Central Illinois today, hot, mostly sunny with a high around 92. Tonight, mostly cloudy, the low in the upper 60s. Showers and thunderstorms likely tomorrow, the high around 85. Wind gusts up to 25 miles per hour. Showers and thunderstorms are likely as well Tuesday evening, then a chance of showers around midnight, lows around 60. Cooler Wednesday, mostly cloudy, the high around 75. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, September 24th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.